It's been another busy week in national politics, and it's only Wednesday. President Trump is slamming the FBI and its director over a new report on the 2016 Russia investigation. The House Judiciary Committee is finalizing its articles of impeachment, and Democrats have reached a deal with the White House on the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement, the trade deal meant to replace NAFTA. We want to hear your thoughts on that trade agreement with our neighbors to the north and south. Does this come as good news to you or maybe your line of work? Do you want Congress to pass this new deal? Do you have concerns about it? What do you make of the timing of Democrats announcing the deal on the same day they unveil articles of impeachment? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@wpr.org. Jennifer Habercorn is a staff writer covering Congress for Los Angeles Times, also a graduate of Marquette University. She joins us from the U.S. Capitol building. Jen, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks so much for having me, and thanks for the shout-out to my alma mater.
Always. Well, let's start with the impeachment articles released yesterday by House Democrats, one over abuse of power, the other for obstructing Congress. What struck you about the focus of those articles, what's in them and what's not?
Yeah, well, there was a big debate among Democrats as to how broad of a case to make against the president. I mean, at some point, there were Democrats, saying that there should be a whole list of articles of impeachment, particularly looking at obstruction of justice related to the president's activities outlined in the Mueller report. That was the special counsel's investigation into Russia. There were Democrats who wanted to hold him accountable for his actions trying to fire the special counsel, among some other things. But what they really decided on is a pretty narrow approach. I mean, they would argue that the abuse of power charge is a pretty broad charge, but it's just one of two articles of impeachment. And the strategy there was to keep it pretty focused and contained because there's, you know, several opinions across the Democratic caucus, but it's moderate Democrats, those in districts where Trump is pretty popular or even just a little bit popular, and they're worried about the political backlash some of those members would face if it looked like they were just throwing this kitchen sink at the president.
I want to give a listen to Judiciary Committee Chair Jerry Nadler announcing those articles yesterday.
Elections are the cornerstone of democracy and are foundational to the rule of law. But the integrity of our next election is at risk from a president who has already sought foreign interference in the 2016 and 2020 elections and who consistently puts himself above country. That is why we must act now.
And that seemed focused on the criticism that that Democrats are moving too fast, should take time to go through the courts to bring more witnesses in. This is something that Democrats have been trying to address, right?
That's right. There's been some criticism that they've been moving too fast. In fact, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi responded to that by saying that this has been happening for 2.5 years, which frankly is a Republican talking point that Democrats have just been trying to impeach the president since he first came into office. So it's kind of a nebulous argument. The real meat of it, though, is that there is a debate as to whether Democrats should wait for the courts to sort out whether some of the folks involved, particularly former National Security Advisor John Bolton, should have to testify. And that's important because Bolton and others, just like Rudy Giuliani, has also refused subpoenas. They have a lot of information that could sway lawmakers in either direction. And so far, they have refused to cooperate and hold some answers to pivotal questions.
Now, this evening, the House Judiciary Committee will meet to start marking up the articles of impeachment. That's supposed to continue tomorrow morning. What's involved in a committee markup?
Yeah, this is a process that any bill goes through. Members essentially debate. They can debate any word in the piece of legislation. And so that's what's going to happen here. These are usually on high-profile pieces of legislation, including impeachment. They're pretty contentious. We're going to see Democrats, Republicans argue the case on impeachment, argue which articles are in there and which ones aren't. But Democrats seem pretty aligned that they're not going to try to add anything in there. The question now is whether Republicans try to pick apart the articles of impeachment. At the end of the day, though, it's pretty much a fait accompli. Democrats have more members on the committee than Republicans, so they can vote down anything Republicans do. And by tomorrow evening sometime, we expect the articles to be through the committee And then the next step would be the House floor.
Right. For Republicans, it seems like the edit they would want on these is delete all. That's simply
right.
They don't think this should exist in the first place.
Yeah, and they're kind of arguing that you can't improve upon articles of impeachment that are so horrible to begin with. So the debate is going to be pretty political. It's not going to be pretty substantive.
We'll watch that. And by the way, we'll start airing those markup hearings this evening at 6 here on the Ideas Network and pick it up tomorrow morning. Right now, it's our weekly look at the top stories in national politics. Jennifer Habercorn with us from the Los Angeles Times. Well, let's transition toward this trade agreement, the USMCA agreement replacing NAFTA. Callers, you can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you think NAFTA should have been gotten rid of? Do you like the idea of a tweak? Did it need bigger changes? Should Democrats be working with the president on this? Call 800-642-1234. Jen, you wrote a piece about this kind of odd thing where Democrats arrive at a deal with the president on the same day and talk about it basically within the same hour as releasing these articles of impeachment.
Yeah, it was, you know, I've been up here covering Congress for several years now, and it was really one of the most remarkable mornings that I've seen. I mean, at 9 a.m., Speaker Pelosi and several of her chairmen who've been involved in this process announced that the articles of impeachment would move forward. At 10 o'clock, Speaker Pelosi came back with one of her chairmen and said, "We're signing the president's trade deal." So it was really, you know, a dramatic whiplash. But at the same time, Congress works under deadline. We have the holidays coming up. They want to get their plate cleared before they go home. So it's a natural time to think for things to wrap up. But also politically, this is really significant, again, for those moderate Democrats who are going to have to go and run for re-election next year and parts of the country where Trump is popular. They want to be able to send the message that, yes, they think the president did things that warrant impeachment, but on certain areas where they agree on policy, they can work together. And so they said it was not intentional that these things happened the same day, but it did fit very conveniently well into their messaging that they can, quote unquote, walk and chew gum.
And some Republican messaging, in any case, has been, hey, while Democrats are busy with this impeachment deal, they're ignoring important things like the USMCA, so get it done. So was this partly an effort by Democrats to say, hold on, yeah, we can do both, as you're saying, the walk and chew gum?
Absolutely, yeah. It's all about walk and chew gum. Frankly, you hear that out of every other person's mouth that you talk to up here lately. But yeah, that was really important to them. And, you know, Republicans chided them for that. In fact, they said that they have held up USMCA, or Democrats have held up USMCA in order to have these events happen on the same day.
And now it goes to the Senate, and Senate leadership, Republican leadership there says, later in January, it sounds like.
That's right. It does still need to pass the House. That vote is on the USMCA is expected next week, but at this point it does seem like it's very likely going to pass. But yes, then it would go to the Senate, and Senate leaders have said that they would deal with it after an impeachment trial, assuming that also lands in the Senate. And that is unlikely to wrap up until late January or February.
We continue our talk with Jennifer Habercorn of the LA Times, looking at this week's news out of Washington. Jen, we were talking about the politics of the U.S.-Mexico-Canada trade agreement. Let's talk a little bit about the policy side. This is an update to NAFTA, the North American Free Trade Agreement. Not a huge drastic change, though, as it was originally negotiated. Is that right?
That's right. Democrats put up quite a bit of an effort to get the deal changed. One of their main concerns was making sure that there was enforcement of labor provisions in Mexico. They argue that if Mexican workers are not held to the same standards of U.S. workers, it really wouldn't have much effect. And so that was a big area that changed in the year after the president signed the agreement and now when it presumably is going to pass Congress. That's one of the main things. Democrats were also looking to make some other changes. Not all of them were able to get through, such as the inclusion of language to address climate change.
Ultimately, President Trump will say, if this passes the House and then the Senate, President Trump can say, hey, look, I successfully negotiated this deal and brought it through Congress. Democrats could say we successfully negotiated some changes in what the president negotiated. So everybody comes away with a little something.
That's the effort in this and most of pieces of legislation that passed Congress.
Well, let's move on to some other non-impeachment news, Jen. House Democrats planning to vote on a drug pricing bill. It's another idea that's been in the works for a while. What kind of things is this bill looking to do when it comes to the cost of prescription medications?
Yeah, this is a pretty expansive drug bill. You'll remember a lot of the 2018 election, Democrats were making the case on health care and the high cost of prescription drugs. And now this is their legislation to really address that problem. One of the main things it does is it allows the federal government to negotiate drug prices with Medicare. It sounds wonky, but it's a pretty big deal because it would force drug makers essentially to lower their prices. And the price that drugs are sold in Medicare really affects the price that people pay if they have private insurance coverage. It kind of just puts downward pressure. That's a pretty controversial idea. Republicans don't like it because it sounds like price fixing. So this is going to be probably a Democrats only bill, but Democrats feel like it's really important to set the standard and kind of set the message for what they would do if they controlled everything in Washington. And so this is going to be a pretty big vote, but won't become law anytime soon. And in fact, there was kind of some debate among Democrats themselves as to how this, what this bill should look like. Progressives were really pushing hard to move it further to the left. In fact, they threatened to block the bill unless it moved further to the left.
And I understand a couple of the leaders of kind of the progressive wing of the Democratic House caucus met with House leadership, including Mark Pocan from Wisconsin, and came out saying, okay, yeah, it looks like we can come to a deal on what we want to pass here.
That's right. The speaker agreed to make some changes to the bill, essentially to require that more drugs are negotiated through Medicare than what was previously in the bill. And because of that agreement, progressives led by Mark Pocan and others are not going to threaten to block the bill, which would have been a pretty big deal for internal politics.
But as you were saying, this is something that might well end up passing the House but not pass the Senate. And there's a pretty long list, right, of things that one house does and the other house, led by the opposite party, just lets sit there.
Yeah, and that's been the story this year, frankly. House Democrats have 10 bills that they really made part of their agenda, and so far all of them have gone through the House and not the Senate. In fact, there's dozens more that are lower profile, but yeah, that's what House Democrats are really talking a lot about now, is these bills that are languishing in the Senate. Senate Republicans don't really have any appetite to negotiate with House Democrats right now. The Senate's focusing on confirming conservative judges. So we're kind of at this legislative stalemate, which is one of the reasons why the USMCA deal, the trade deal that we talked about earlier, is such a big deal, because it's one of the few pieces of legislation that are actually getting through this divided government.
And again, this has been a talking point, and this goes back to what we were saying about the U.S.-Mexico-Canada trade agreement. Republicans saying, hey, House Democrats, you aren't getting things done because you're impeaching. Democrats saying, oh, no, hold on, we've passed a lot of stuff. It's not getting done because it's falling apart in the Senate.
Exactly. And I think we're going to be hearing about this for another year in the run-up to the next election. In fact, Democrats are worried that they don't have enough to talk about, and they want some bipartisan deals. But right now, the appetite for bipartisanship and any kind of compromise is just not there. Democrats are passing very progressive bills. Republicans, in the Senate at least, are not passing many pieces of legislation at all. They're focusing on judges. So it's really hard to see where that they bridge that divide. I just don't see it.
Talking to Jennifer Habercorn, she covers Congress for the Los Angeles Times. We're looking at some of the top stories in national politics. Just getting back to impeachment for a moment, a reminder that the House Judiciary Committee will begin considering two articles of impeachment against President Trump in their markup session tonight. You can hear live coverage on WPR starting at 6. NPR's live coverage will be hosted by Rachel Martin with senior Washington editor Ron Elving, congressional correspondent Kelsey Snell. That's tonight at 6. And then if they keep going, you can pick up tomorrow morning at 8 here on the Ideas Network. Jen, moving on to another story. Now, we had this Justice Department Inspector General report yesterday finding that political bias wasn't behind the 2016 investigation of the Trump campaign, but there were omissions and errors by FBI agents at some key points during the probe. Now, President Trump has really slammed the FBI over this on Twitter and in a public appearance. What kind of back and forth have we seen since this report report, I guess even before this report came out.
Yeah, it's been a really partisan process, and in fact, it's leaked into the impeachment investigation as well. Republicans feel like this is something that needs to be investigated more. President Trump is pushing them on that, we're kind of I feel like I keep saying stalemate, but that's where we are on a lot of things these days in terms of further investigation on this.
Now, is there any indication that FBI Director Christopher Wray's job might be in jeopardy? The president put out a tweet that for any other president, you'd say, okay, this is a sign that the president has lost confidence in this guy, but what are we looking for there?
Yeah, I mean, so far, if the president tweets about you, it's typically not a great sign. At least that's been the practice for many of his administration officials. I think we'd see a bit of a backlash, though, if he were to move forward.
And there's a lot of different kinds of spin and response being put on this Inspector General report. Are people even operating in the same reality as they read what was in this report?
Yeah, we're definitely, it's a Rorschach test of sorts. I mean, Republicans read it one way, Democrats read it another way, and it's gone completely through partisan filters. I mean, this situation is one in which there seems to be no nuance, and people, each party is viewing it from their party camps, and it's hard to see how that's going to break through. But I do expect Republicans are going to be talking more and more about this, particularly as impeachment heads closer to the Senate, because in the Senate, Republicans are in control, so they can decide what kind of hearings are called. That's why there was the hearing this week, and we could expect more.
Now, I want to look ahead, Jennifer, to what Congress has left in the works. A holiday coming up. Obviously, a lot of times things are winding down around now, but they've got some big stuff, including, isn't there still a spending bill that they have to sign off on? You know, that little thing?
Yeah, that little thing like keeping the government's doors open. As of right now, the government is funded only through December 20th, 9 days from now. And so lawmakers are trying to ensure that there's not another holiday shutdown. As of now, a shutdown seems pretty unlikely. The last one was just so unpopular, and the government was partially closed for, I think it was about 40 days. And no lawmaker seems ready for that to happen. But, you know, there's going to be a very interesting dynamic next week if the president is impeached by the House one day and the next day he's asked to sign a government spending bill that doesn't have his priorities in there, such as money for the border wall. That could create a pretty hostile dynamic, to say the least. And, the president is likely to decide whether the government remains open if lawmakers are able to come to an agreement on how exactly to do so.
Well, flip open the dates on the congressional advent calendar to get that spending bill signed off on. 9 days left. Is there a thought of when they're going to try to do that?
I mean, they're trying to do it now. Steven Mnuchin, the Treasury Secretary, was on Capitol Hill yesterday meeting with Republican and Democrats in Nancy Pelosi's office, and they were discussing how to move forward. 9 days is not a lot of time, but when Congress does decide that they want to do something, they can do it relatively quickly. My antennas aren't up yet and too worried about a shutdown, but that will change if there isn't an agreement by early next week.
And then give us the timeline on the next steps, bringing us back to where we started on impeachment. What are the next key points, and when, at least tentatively, are they scheduled to happen?
Well, as you mentioned, there's the markup in the the House Judiciary Committee. That'll be tonight and tomorrow. From there, the articles of impeachment would go to the House floor. That'll happen next week. That'll be probably a pretty lengthy debate. We don't have an exact time as to when it'll start, but I would expect that to be Tuesday and Wednesday. And then there'll be a vote on the House floor. We don't know exactly when that is, but that's going to be a pretty high-profile vote, to say the least. And we're likely to have a vote on both articles of impeachment. So you could see a scenario in which each article has a different vote tally. As of right now, Democrats do seem like they're going to have the votes to be able to do it. The moderates, progressives, folks in the middle, they all seem pretty aligned. One big question I have is if there's a single Republican vote. it does not seem likely at this point, but that would obviously be a pretty significant marker. Democrats would love to be able to say that this was a bipartisan vote. And we're likely to see at least two Democrats vote against impeachment. Colin Peterson from Minnesota and Jeff Van Drew from New Jersey, they've already said that they're pretty unlikely to vote for it.
We'll leave it there for now and keep watching those stories. Jen, thanks for joining us again.
Thanks so much for having me.
We've been talking to Jennifer Habercorn. She covers Congress at the Los Angeles Times. She joined us for our weekly look at the latest top stories in national politics.